Here in the studios with me today is Cece Esparza. Hi, Cece.
Hi, Pam.
Cece, you're also here to tell us about your concert memories, right?
Yes. Doing one of these programs, always, you know, going down memory lane.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose three concerts to share. The first one I ever went to, and I cannot remember now because I'm old, is if I was 16 or 17.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I was not, because I...
You weren't of age yet.
Yes. I was not of age. And as most of you know, or if you don't know, I'm Mexican, Puerto Rican, Apache Indian, and grew up in a home that was bilingual. And I was born and raised in San Francisco, in the San Francisco Bay Area. And so the music as a youngster in my home was rock, was Westerns.
Mm-hmm.
And Hispanic music, and the at when I was a young woman, and from Celia Cruz was the queen of salsa, and from the time I was 14 until 17, I used to go to dances on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Family, it was a family thing. Everyone, you know, went as a family. You never went. At that
on a
age,
date sort
on
of
a date thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this builds up to it. When I was about 13, my stepfather became friends with this person who told my family and told me, and I just thought he was always crazy, that when I got old enough, he was going to marry me.
Mm.
And I used to go, ha, you know, what a creep, basically. I was, you know. but the thing was, anyway, Celia Cruz came to... was going to be in San Francisco. And I really, really, really wanted to go. And so being the smartass that I am or was, I manipulated this person who I had no interest at all into
mm-hmm.
asking me to this dance, along with my sister and another friend. And then went to my mom and said, Felipe invited me to go see Celia Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And can I go? And, you know, my mom hesitated and finally said, okay. So this none of us drove. So we three young women dressed to the hilt, high heels, 4-inch high heels. I used to wear 4-inch high heels all the
Silly
time.
Silly you.
Silly me now. I couldn't even forget it now. But, you know, I was younger. And anyway, we... had to take the bus. We, because none of us, Felipe didn't have a driver's license, and neither did we. So we took the BART. It wasn't BART then. It was just
the bus.
The bus. We took the bus from, we were living in San Leandro, or San Lorenzo, which is in the East Bay. Took the bus for 2 hours to go to San Francisco. And then we got on the trolley car and went, it was in a big hotel. And to go to this concert. And so I want to share that music, a piece of that music. It was Celia Cruz. We're going to be listening to Celia Cruz with La Vida es un Carnaval. Oh. Life is a carnival.
Okay, here we go.
No hay nada.
Celia Cruz.
You know, it's impossible to listen to music like that and not move.
Oh, yeah, I'm dancing. Well, you know, think of, you know, a couple thousand people in a ballroom dancing around as she's singing. And this woman used to wear this outrageous makeup, eyelashes out to here, hair poofy, and skin tight sequined dresses. And she had a rack on her. I mean, that woman needed help walking around.
And so now, were you telling me you saw her umpteen years after this, too?
Like about 20 years, maybe 25 years. The first time I went to the New Orleans Jazz Fest.
Wow.
And I didn't realize that in New Orleans at that time, which was in the 90s, the first time I went to New Orleans. I've been to the New Orleans Jazz Fest three times. The first time, anyway, at the Jazz Fest, they have the fest from 11 in the morning to 7 at night. Mm-hmm. And then there's venues that around the city where you can go and see different artists. And Celia Cruz was there. Mm. And so I chose to go see her. And I was ignorant to the fact that at that point, there was about 250,000 Hispanics living in the New Orleans Bowl. Hmm. And that they were, you know, they had a Spanish-speaking radio station, and they had, you know, all these artists that came. I was just really surprised. But, yeah, so I did see her.
How was the performance 20 years later?
Oh, she was still
awesome.
Right on. God,
that's
she was
cool.
Awesome. She was awesome until the day she died. Hmm. And so that was, I have, as an adult, gone to many, many concerts. Mm-hmm. I've been, you know, given the opportunity because of the places that I was at a particular time and space. And then there were three concerts that I actually went specifically to that community to hear the concert. Mm-hmm. Two of them, well, the first one was when I was a youngster, you know, 2-hour bus ride, plus some other things that are crazy. But anyway, I have, since living in Alaska, and in fact, here in Kodiak, in the last few years, have gone to two concerts that I specifically went to California
to see. Mm-hmm.
And one of them was a bust, not because of the performance, but because of the circumstances. I have a sister who's late for everything. I think she'll even be late for her funeral. But I had planned on just going to California, see these folks, and then not tell my family I had been there. But, you know, that good old guilt.
Yep.
Family
yep.
guilt. Anyway. Yep. So went to my sister's and was saying with, and I said, okay, now. Where we were going was going to take about 3 hours to drive. It was in Northern California. And I said to her, we need to leave here really early because we don't know what the traffic's going to be. We don't know where we're going, blah, blah, blah. And my sister said, oh, fine, fine. Anyway, she screwed around. We left like almost 2 hours beyond the time limit that I had put. We drive and drive and drive. We're out. It was in a Indian casino out in the boonies.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
So we drive for 2 hours. We get to what we thought was about an hour, or, you know, half hour, to where we were going. And we hit a traffic jam. We did not know that these people were going to be so popular. So for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
We were in this traffic jam, finally got to the casino. I went to buy tickets. I had not bought tickets because I didn't think it was going to be. No tickets.
Nothing left.
Nothing left. I was so
perturbed,
to say the least. So I said, well, let's just leave, you know, and I didn't want to talk to my sister because I was ready to choke her. And the venue was outside. So she said, well, let's just sit here and listen to them. So that's what we did. I spent all this money to go see these people sit on the sidewalk on the curb and listen to them. Couldn't see them, but I could hear them.
But you could hear them. That's good.
Yeah, and that was Los Tigres del Norte, and I didn't bring any of their music because And then the other one I'll talk about later. But I want the next piece of music that I want to share is Dave Brubeck. I chose to share that, this piece of music, because Dave Brubeck, I saw him here in Kodiak. My understanding is he had come here twice. I saw him that's the last time he was here. And I also saw Dave Brubeck two other times at in New Orleans. But the song I wanted to play was Take Five, but it takes too much time. So what we're going to listen to is his rendition of Stardust.
Okay, Dave Brubeck.
Thank you.
That was some lovely, lovely, lovely music by Dave Brubeck. When he came here, he just came alone. And I think one time with his son. But, you know, the Art Council and KMXT brings world famous and sometimes not so famous artists here. You know, we may be remote, but we've gotten some wonderful, wonderful people over the years. I remember when Judy Collins came.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was, she arrived and her luggage didn't.
Which means no guitar.
Yeah. And so she didn't have a dress. So they, at that time, Stephanie Doctorman worked mm-hmm. for the Art Council. And, you know, she and Judy Collins were the same size. So she had gotten all these dresses for Judy Collins to, you know, to pick from. And then these artists, some of the big name artists, all of the artists actually, you know, they have specific requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them that Judy Collins wanted was a limousine. Well, there was no limousine in Kodiak. So Laura, I can't think of her last name. Starts with a B. Anyway, she was a real estate agent here. She had this Cadillac.
Oh, Laura Bealey.
Bealey. Mm-hmm. Laura Bealey had a Cadillac. So arrangements were made for Laura Bealey to go pick up Judy Collins and her folks. It was just funny. I mean, some of the funniest things have happened. When Arlo Guthrie came, I'm on the board of directors of the Art Council. And so we were told that he was a vegetarian and he wanted specific things. And so several of us volunteered to make food for his lunch and his dinner. And I'm not a vegetarian, but I picked some recipes and I ran around looking for the ingredients and, you know, got everything done, brought the food, hoping that I could meet Arlo Guthrie, at least. And because of schedules, I didn't get to meet him and I had to go on and do something else. But later, it was so funny. It was his manager that had asked for these specific foods, not Arlo Guthrie. I mean, Arlo Guthrie was standing outside the auditorium, smoking like a train.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, he's vegetarian and he's smoking? You know, it was funny. Just funny stories about, you know, folks who have come here. And in the classical, we've had many classical folks who have come, musicians who have come who were maybe not real famous at that time, but are now. You hear them? I hear them all the time on Performance Today. Anyway.
We've had lots of musicians.
Oh, yeah. Thinking about musicians, I just thought about Prince. I saw that he died this morning. I've been to Las Vegas twice,
mm-hmm.
and one of the times when I was there, Prince was there. And so, again, with my sister, who never is on time, she and I, and we had taken her son for his 18th birthday to Vegas. I said, okay, we'll stand in line. We'll go see Prince. If it's a certain amount, I will not go above a certain amount to pay for his ticket. So we stood in line and we found out how much it was. And I said to my nephew, sorry, dude, I'm not paying for you, so go do something. So my sister and I are standing in line waiting to go purchase tickets. And this man came up to us and offered to sell us what he said was front row tickets for a certain amount. And I was going back and forth. Is this really solid? And apparently this man would follow Prince all over. He had seen him like 3 or 4 times already, and he was quite a fan, but his wife had gotten sick or something or other. So I said, okay, I'll buy it. We'll just see. So we paid this guy the money, and I'm going, I hope we didn't make a mistake. Got in. The seat was, I could touch Prince.
Wow.
He was such a fantastic performer.
Hmm.
His music was wonderful. And, you know, he and his folks, that his supporting people, were, it was worth every cent plus more. Right. But it was so interesting. You know, I was going, ooh, you know, we're probably don't have good seats and all that. But I swear I could just reach out. It was so close.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And I've heard his concerts are just spectacular.
Oh, God. They are. They were.
Yeah.
So may he rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
As I had mentioned earlier, that I had gone specifically somewhere to see a particular group. Well, 3 years ago, May, in fact, it'll be 3 years, May 8th. I'll remember it because I specifically went to California. On May 8th, 2013, my nephew used to live in San Jose. And his birthday's in May, so before I realized how much the tickets were, I said to him, would you like to go see the Rolling Stones with me? I'd like to come down and go see the Rolling Stones. And as an incentive, I will pay for half your ticket as a birthday present. And he goes, sure, okay. So then I go online. Anyway, I ended up paying a hell of a lot for two tickets to go see the Rolling Stones.
Was it a good concert, though?
Oh, it was, man. Oh, it was just wonderful. It was in the Hewlett-Packard Stadium in San Jose. And, it's a really a nice stadium. And, so we go, my nephew dropped, because the parking was so, there were so many people.
Just Rudy?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. He dropped me off in front of the, of the place and the entrance and went to park the car. And it was so amazing just standing there watching all these people, all ages. Just going to be, oldies, but there were teenagers to grandma and grandpas. There were, I remember there was this man standing on a platform preaching against the Stones.
Wow.
And saying that they were, the devil's agent and whatever. He, he had a Bible and he was thumping his Bible and screaming in a microphone. People just sort of looked at him, ignored
it. Went on in, sure, sure.
Ignored him. And there were people trying to beg for tickets. And then there were scalpers. And, it was just so amazing watching all these people. And the tickets that we bought were in the mezzanine. Not quite nosebleed.
But almost.
but these guys, oh, my goodness. They are, they're in their 70s. They are wonderful, wonderful performers. And then the cream of the crop, they had two guests. And one of them's one of my all-time favorite people. They had Bonnie Raitt.
Oh, wow.
Was a guest.
I would have gone for Bonnie Raitt.
Yeah, which I have done. I saw Bonnie Raitt in Idaho one time. In fact, I changed my plane reservations so that I could see her. I had gone to see a friend. And the day before I was supposed to leave, we were walking downtown and I saw this poster in a shop that said Bonnie Raitt was going to be at the university the day I was supposed to leave. And I said, I really want to see Bonnie Raitt. So I changed my reservations. That's before they started charging $100 or $200, whatever.
To change your reservation.
Yeah.
So what an opening act, though, to have an opening act of Bonnie Raitt and then to see the Rolling Stones in concert.
Actually, she wasn't the opening act.
She was with them?
She was with them.
Okay.
And then so was John Fogerty.
Thank you. Whoa,
so,
wow.
It was John Fogerty and Bonnie Raitt as their guest. And they had this, the stage, and then they had a walkway that came out of the stage, and Mick Jagger, would dance all around like he usually does. And then, I don't know if you've seen any pictures of Keith Richards lately, but he's got this skinny body, and then he has this big beer belly. Well, he would put his guitar on his belly, mm-hmm. played that thing, and then walked, danced across the stage and across the walkway. You know, high energy. It was so high energy. So I want to share some of the music that I heard at that concert. So we'll start off with, what are we starting off with?
Time.
Time.
Is on our side.
Is on our side.
All right, here we go.
Wow, what can I say?
That must have been an amazing concert.
It was, and you know, lots and lots and lots of people, and they have. I have this T-shirt that was $40 that has a tongue hanging on the front
of
it.
Oh yeah, right, that, right.
Yeah, it's. I was going to wear it, but decided not to. Anyway, you can volunteer here. There are many, many things that. One can volunteer, one of them being an on-air host, which I am. You know, I'm here. I've been here every Wednesday, unless I've been sick or out of town, for the last 27 and a half years.
Yep.
And I've done Ritmo Latino off and on through the years. So now I do Wednesday nights, of course, for Wednesday Night Jazz, and then periodically, I'll do Ritmo Latino, what I call Ritmo Latino, at on Mondays and on the World Music.
Mm-hmm. World Music Show.
Mm-hmm. So I do that periodically. But right now,
we're going to play some tunes. And you want to talk about this last song?
Oh, I just have always loved this song.
Okay.
And it's, what is the name of it again? I always get the name mixed up. It's... You can't always get what you want.
Yep.
And ain't that the truth?
It surely is. Here we go. You can't always get what you want. The Rolling Stones.
A glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was a footloose man. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, well, you might find. We don't, we're gonna blow a 50-amp fuse. Sing it to me. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, will you just might find. The Chelsea drugstore to get your prescription filled. I was standing in line with Mr. Jimmy. A man, did he look pretty ill? We decided that we would have a soda. emotions. In a glass was a bleeding maid. She was practiced at the art of deception. Well, I could tell by her bloodstained hands. It just might find.
Cece, I want to thank you very much for coming in and sharing your concert memories with us and for volunteering for umpteen years, 27 and a half years at KMXT. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, I love this place. Public radio is one of my passions.